Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Your Bible, go ahead and grab it. Stand to your feet with me. You may wonder, why do we stand up when we read the Bible? Well, it's twofold. One, we respect the Word of God. Two, I don't want you getting too sleepy and going to sleep on me. So I try to get you to stand back up because that kind of refreshes your attention span. You know, they say the attention span's as long as the rear end can stand. So this is kind of like refreshing that. And some people say your attention span is it correlates with your age, right? Like a 2-year-old has the attention span of 2 minutes. Well, a 40-year-old should have the attention span into 40 minutes. Some of y'all, I could preach till Jesus came back and your attention would last. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Pastor Madison did not know this is the passage I was speaking from this morning when she began to share this with you earlier, but I referenced this scripture last week. And as I went throughout this week, the Lord kept bringing me back to this passage, and I really wanted to minister it to you this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, and he says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you." I want you to know today, there is the gift of God inside of you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to read verse 7 once again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I ask that by the anointing that comes through the Holy Spirit, that you would allow me to preach your word in clarity and in truth. I ask that you would open up the eyes and the minds of the hearers today. I thank you for the gift that you have given to mankind, that you have not bestowed upon us a spirit of fear, but you have given us power and love and a sound mind. And we receive that today. And I pray that you would allow us to have a greater understanding of how you wish and want and plan for us to walk through this life to advance your kingdom and to be the men and the women that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. I want to deliver a message to you entitled this morning, "The Disciplined Mind." Okay? The Disciplined Mind. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what the Lord kept laying on my heart throughout this week as we talked about this verse a little bit last week. But in Paul's second letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, which we just read from, he is talking to him in his opening statements. And in his opening statements, he is encouraging him to take personal responsibility for what God has entrusted him with. And I want to remind you this morning that your relationship with God is your responsibility. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your praying grandma can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. Your best friend can't do it for you. Your relationship with God is your responsibility. Paul even makes reference, if you go back a verse in this passage, he says, "I recall the genuine faith that was in your grandmother and your mother, Lois and Eunice, that they have imparted to you." So he's making reference. He's saying, "Look, Timothy, I understand that your mother and your grandmother, they were godly women. They were women of faith. They were women that believed in God. They were women that trusted in God, and they poured into you. But listen, I'm telling you, Timothy, you need to stir up the gift of God that's inside of you. Don't just rely on what mom did and what grandma did. You need to stir it up inside of you. You need to take personal responsibility for your relationship with God." He's saying your grandma and your mama, they can't do it for you, Timothy. The gift of God that God has placed inside of you is yours to foster, yours to grow, yours to stir up, yours to fan into flame. He said, stir up the gift of God that's inside of you. You know, that word stir up, it means to fan into flame or to rekindle again. He's saying that there's maybe you've let your wood get or you've let your fire go out and it's just down to embers. He's saying you just need to stir it back up. Maybe you have you ever been camping before and you forgot to put wood on the fire, and all of a sudden it begins to dwindle and dwindle, and then it's just coals. But I'll tell you what, if all you have is some coals, but you begin to stir them up and you put some new wood on that fire, all of a sudden you can have that joker ablaze again in no time. The book of Proverbs says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. I'm afraid that there's a lot of Christians today that their fire for God has gone out. It's not that God has stopped burning, because he's an all-consuming fire. He's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's that we are responsibility to stir it up, to fan it into flame, to rekindle again. Maybe you've let your wood run out. Well, I want to remind you, in the Old Testament, when Elijah was standing on the mountain, he brought a sacrifice before the Lord, and it wasn't just wood and it wasn't just a bull, but he had him dump water on it and dump it on it again and dump it on it again. And the fire of God was so powerful, he was making a point that even something that is soaking wet, God can consume with his fire. So no matter how low you've gotten, you stir it back up. One touch from God can rekindle again, but you've got to stir it into flame, fan it into flame. My goal today, though, is to help you to take control of your mind. Because there's so many people that have no control of their mind. Their thoughts, negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, begin to lead them this way and lead them that way. And I want you to be able to live a life that isn't controlled by fearful thoughts, worrisome thoughts, insecure thoughts, negative thoughts, angry thoughts, sinful thoughts. But I want you to be able to live a life that has the mind of Christ. You know, Paul wrote and he said, we have the mind of Christ. And it comes down to this. Either you tell your mind what to think, or your mind will tell you what to do. You have to take control of it. That's why Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, take every thought captive. What is he saying? He's saying, don't let your thoughts lead you. You lead your thoughts. Take every thought captive and make it submit and subject itself to the knowledge of Christ. So many people live life and a worrisome thought comes in their mind, and they let that worrisome thought lead them into worry. An angry thought comes to their mind, and they let them lead that thought lead them into anger. A fearful thought comes into their mind, and they let that fearful thought lead them into a life of fear. But remember what Paul said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, of cowardice, of timidity, of dread, but he has given you power and love and a sound mind. Do you realize that fear is a learned behavior? You weren't born with fear. How do I know that? Well, number one, I know it because it said God didn't give it to you. Okay, but number two, I've had four children. Well, Madison's had four children. We have had four children. Don't you love it when guys say that? We're having a baby. No, you're not, Dumbledore. Your wife is having a baby. You're just going to sit there and eat Cheetos while she is going through the most horrific pain of her life. But we've had four children, and I realized something with our first child. I was playing with him one day, Judah. He was laying on the bed, and I had a little toy, like a little rattle toy. And I was playing above his face, and I'm, just baby talking and whatever. And the rattle slipped out of my hand unintentionally, slammed him in the face. You know what I realized? He didn't blink. You cannot, if I flash my hand in front of your face or I act like I'm going to throw something at you, you will blink out of reaction. Why? Because you've learned that reaction. Because you know getting hit in the face hurts. Judah had never been hit in the face, so he had no fear of getting hit in the face. And I was like, did I just see what I saw? And so I waved my hand over his face. He didn't blink. I did it again. He didn't blink. Why? Because he had no fear of getting hit in the face. Because he had to learn how to be afraid. So if you can learn how to be afraid, you can learn how to not be afraid. If you can learn how to live with fear, you can learn how to live without fear. And it starts with learning how to think properly. Not letting your thoughts lead you, but you taking every thought captive. That's why Paul would write in Philippians 4, verse 8, he told the church, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Some translations say meditate on these things. Meditate is just a deeper word for think. To meditate means to compute over and over again. It means to mumble to oneself under its breath over and over again. He's saying, I'll only think about good things, people. Think about trustworthy things. Think about true things. Think about noble things. Think about things that are a good report. When you hear a bad report, don't think about the bad report. Think about the good report. So think about things that are good. What's he saying? He's saying choose what you're going to think about now. Because if you don't choose and you don't plan ahead and you don't get a plan and you don't take control of your mind will take control of you. So he's saying think about, if you don't know what to think about these things. You know, I love it. I'll ask my children, what are you thinking about? Nothing. No, you're thinking about something. What are you thinking about? Nothing. No, and you try to explain to them, and I remember my dad or my mom having the same conversation with me. No, you're always thinking about something, right? Well, it's the same with us as adults. You're always thinking about something. You need to choose what you're going to think about. Because if you wait, those thoughts will come to you, and those are the thoughts that you have to take captive. But if you are proactive and you say, I'm going to think about good things. I'm going to think about lovely things. I'm going to think about the good report. I'm not going to listen to the evil report. I'm going to listen to the good report. I'm going to meditate upon the word of God. Don't let your thoughts run rampant within your mind. Get a plan and think on purpose, because your mind will tell you what to think and who to become. If you don't, because the book of Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In fact, the word heart and the word mind are almost interchangeable in Hebrew. Because really, your thoughts are a direct reflection of what's happening in your heart. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So many people are being controlled on a daily basis by thoughts that bombard them, that control them. And these thoughts lead them into a life that they don't like. There are so many people that are living a life that they don't like, and they don't understand that if they would just change the way that they think, they would change the way that they live. Good. In verse 7, Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, cowardice, timidity, afraid of. And I love that. If you study that word fear even further, yes, it means cowardice. Yes, it means timidity. But it also means afraid of losing or afraid of falling short. God has not given us a spirit of insecurity. I'm going to fail. I'm going to mess up. I'm not going to make it. No, he's given us power and love and a sound mind. So that means that he hasn't given us that, but he has given or bestowed upon us power, which we talked about last week, love and a sound mind. But if you look up the word in the Greek, sound mind, it's the only time that this word is active or is present in the New Testament, and it literally means disciplined. So that's why I want to talk to you about having a disciplined mind. God has given us power, love, and a disciplined mind. That's what the word sound mind means. It's disciplined. Here's some synonyms for the word disciplined: controlled, development, preparation, and education. So what does that mean? That means that God has given us a mind that has the ability, or we have the ability to have a controlled mind, not a mind that is running loose and rampant and just thinking this and worrying about that and fearful about that and fretful about this, but we can have control of our mind. He's given us the ability to have a developed mind. It's not underdeveloped. It's not weak. It's not fearful. It's not timid. He has given us the ability to have a prepared mind, that we're prepared, we're ready, and an educated mind. But listen to this. Antonyms of discipline are this. And this is what God has not given you, but so many people walk in: ignorance, chaos, confusion, disorder, disorganization, and neglect. If your life feels chaotic, out of order, disorganized, neglected, ignorant, that's not what God has given to you nor planned for you. But so many people are walking and living that way. They feel like their life's in utter chaos. Why? Because their mind is in utter chaos. They feel like their life is out of order. Why? Because their mind isn't in order. They feel like their life is disorganized. Why? Because their mind isn't organized. But we don't realize God has given to us. He's bestowed upon us. Now, you may say, if God has given it to me, Pastor, why don't I have it? Right? Because you may be going, well, I feel like my life is sometimes chaotic and disorganized and out of order, and I don't feel like I have a prepared mind, an educated mind, or an orderly mind. So if God's given it to me, then why don't I have it? Well, that's a really good question. But the answer is that I've been given a lot of gifts that I never used, that I opened on Christmas, and I thought, well, I'll never wear that. I'll never use that, right? Just because he's given it doesn't mean you're using it. And so you may wonder, why is it? Well, so what I want to show you today is, like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is inside of you. Why did he say that first? Because just because God gave him power, love, and a sound mind doesn't mean he was going to walk in it. He had to prelude it with saying, stir it up, Timothy. I've prayed for you. I've laid hands on you. Your grandmother, your mother, they've imparted to you, but it's your responsibility to walk this stuff out. It's your responsibility to stir it up. It's your responsibility to remind yourself of it and live in it. So remember to fan them into flame. So God has given us access, but that doesn't mean that he is going to superimpose that way of thinking and living on us. It's that he's given us access. So I want you to look at it this way. God has given us access to a disciplined mind, but still most people are choosing to live in chaos, confusion, when they can have a sound mind. But I want you to know you can have a sound mind. It's like this. Imagine if someone gave you a fully paid membership to a gym. Now, once you got over the offense that was brought up in your life by that gift, right? Because I'm not going to lie, if someone gave me a free membership to a gym, it would take me a while. I'd have to pray in the spirit for a while and be like, Lord, help me not be mad at this person, because that's really just a backhand to the face of like, hey, boy, you need to get in shape, right? But once you got over the embarrassment, or once you got over the, I heard someone one time, they said, yeah, my parents got me a membership to a gym for Christmas. And I was like, how rude. And they were like, no, I asked for it. It's okay. And I was like, okay, that's a different story. But imagine it's paid for. They got treadmills. They've got free weights. They've got machines. They've got a personal trainer that you can have access to. They've got 24/7. It's not just 8 in the morning till 6 at night. No, you can go anytime. And they've got a locker room, and they've got, Lord, a sauna. Praise God. I love saunas. I don't know about y'all, but if I could preach in a sauna, I'd preach from a sauna. I mean, I just love being in the sauna. They got everything you need in that gym, right? It's yours. They've given it to you. You have access. You have a key fob. You can go in there 24/7. It won't get you in shape. It's all accessible to you. You can use any machine in the building. You can use all the free weights you want. Get as strong as you like. You can run on that treadmill until you fall off of it. You can sit in the sauna until every impurity is sweated out of your body. But if you don't show up to the gym, it won't do you any good. Your little key fob sitting on your key ring is just a key fob on your key ring. You'll keep the pounds. You'll keep the stress. You'll keep all that. You won't be able to. So number one thing you got to do is you got to go to it, right? You got to get to the gym. But visiting the gym won't get you in shape any more than going to church will make you a Christian, or going to McDonald's will make you a Big Mac. Nah, that may be true. Going to McDonald's may make you a Big Mac. But you could go to the gym every day. 5 o'clock in the morning, unlock the door, walk in and sit down and then stand up and walk out. It won't get you into shape. You have to lift the weights. You have to run on the treadmill. You have to listen to the personal trainer. If you don't use what is given, it won't profit you anything, right? So having access to something and even being there won't get it done. You must apply yourself to what you've been given access to. So you may say, if God's given me power, love, and a sound mind, why don't I have power? Why don't I have love? Why does it feel like my mind isn't sound? It's because somewhere we have not applied ourselves to the things that he has given us access to. We have the key fob, but we haven't donned the doors. We might have gone, but we haven't done what is necessary. That's why the book of James says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. In other words, put it into practice. The word of God has the power to transform your life, but the power is connected to the application. When you apply the word of God to your life, that's when you activate the power that it has to transform you. So let's say you do go to the gym, you do use the weights, you do run on the treadmill, you do all that stuff. But if you want to really, really get in shape, what you need to do is you also need to apply a proper diet to your life in order to be healthy. Because we've seen all that, we've all seen that guy that likes to bench press, but he also likes pizza and wings, right? You know what I'm talking about? He can pump out 300 pounds, 10 reps, but he's gonna go right to Jefferson's and eat, right? So, and we've all been that, I've been that person before. But a proper diet, what is a proper diet? It's the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We know that we have access to these things because we read the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us. So yes, we need to have access to them, but we also need to have a proper diet. And God has given us invitation to have a prepared, disciplined, orderly mind, but it's our job to walk in it. So what I want to do today is I want to give you three steps or keys on the roadmap to a disciplined mind. Because I could tell you all day long and build you up, God's giving you a sound mind. God's giving you a sound mind. But you might be sitting there going, okay, but how do I have a sound mind? Because God's given it to me. Well, here's I wanted to give you three simple steps. So if you're taking notes, write down number one, start fresh. Okay? Start fresh. Have you ever just needed a fresh start on something? Maybe it was a project. Maybe it was a recipe. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a resolution. Maybe back at the beginning of the year, you made a resolution, I'm getting in the gym, and you paid for the whole year, and man, you're going to get in shape, but you know, by February the 12th, you were just not going anymore. Maybe you needed a fresh start to say, all right, I'm getting back on the horse. I'm getting back in the saddle. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a fresh start. You know, sometimes it's best just to wipe the slate and to start over. You ever found that you get into something and sometimes it's best just to go, you know what? I just need to start all over. I just need to wipe it all and start over. What you need is you need a new routine. And so that's why I want to encourage you, start fresh, get a new routine of thinking. Today, decide and declare, I'm getting a fresh start. I'm going to get a new way of thinking. I'm going to let, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is the oldest passed away and behold, all things become new. You can have a new way of thinking today. Maybe you've been fearful and cowardice and dreadful and fearful of failing and losing. And maybe you have been in chaos and disorder and confusion. Listen, today it can all start when you decide, I'm starting fresh. This is my first step to the road of my recovery, of recovering my thoughts, taking control of my thoughts so that I can have control of my actions and being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start afresh and start anew. In fact, that's exactly what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us to do. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Deciding, I'm getting a fresh start. I'm getting a do-over. I'm starting all over again. That word renewing, where it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it means to make new again. Pray and ask God, Lord, give me a new mind. It also means to renovate, renew my mind, renovate my mind. I want to start fresh. I want to start over. Just like in a renovation, if you've ever renovated in a house, sometimes you say, I want to take out that wall and I want to replace this vanity with a new one and I want to redo this flooring and I want to repaint this room. What are you doing? You're giving that house a fresh start. You're renovating it. You're making it better. You're starting over. But the first step to renovation is what all my guys love, demo day. And if you, listen, if you can't lay flooring or put outlets in or, you know, paint or build a built-in bookshelf, every guy can swing a sledgehammer, right? I mean, every guy should be able to swing a sledgehammer, okay? Maybe I've seen some that they could use a little more work. But every guy's like, I might not be able to fix it, but I can tear it up, right? I can surely get in there and do some demo. Every good renovation starts the demolition, ripping out the cabinets, ripping out the toilet, ripping out the flooring, ripping out the wall, right? It starts with demo day. You cannot live with a disciplined mind unless you are willing to cut some things out and start fresh. to do some demolition within your mind, saying, I'm getting the stinking thinking out. I'm getting the negative thoughts out. I'm getting the fearful thoughts out. I'm getting the lustful thoughts out. I'm getting the self-pity thoughts out. You can't carry around negativity and expect to be a positive person. You can't carry around condemnation and expect to have life and life more abundant. You have got to say, I'm getting rid of those things. In fact, neuroscience studies show that anxiety and gratitude cannot exist in the same brain. What that means is even non-Christian scientists will tell you that practicing the act of daily thanksgiving will greatly reduce stress and anxiety in your life. Why? Because gratitude and anxiety cannot coexist in a brain. So when you begin to give thanks and have gratitude, stress and anxiety begins to go down. Why? Because they cannot exist in the same brain. It's the same way with negative and positive thoughts, with loving thoughts and hateful thoughts, with thoughts of what God says about you and what the enemy says about you. So we have got to say, I'm going to demolish all the old. That's why Paul said, take every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus and bring it into subjection of the obedience of Christ Jesus. Because those thoughts, they're going to come in and you've got to say, no, that's not welcome here anymore. That's not going to run my life. I'm taking it captive. I'm thinking on purpose. There are some thoughts that need to be ripped up and thrown away. They don't need to be given another second. When Pastor Madison and I walked through the house that we bought and we've been renovating, there were some things that we said, that's just got to go. We're going to rip it up. It can't stay. I'm not living with that floor. I'm not living with that vanity. I'm not living with that ceiling fan. We're going to rip it up. One thing that we decided we couldn't live with is it had sparkly ceilings. And I said, I can't live in a house with sparkly ceilings. We're going to have to paint the ceilings. That's just not going to work. And you need to say in your life, there are some thoughts that ain't going to fly here. You ever said to that to your children before? They start having an attitude, rolling on the floor. I see Shelly shaking her head. Saxon still does it sometimes. They're rolling on the floor and acting crazy. And you just say, no, son, that ain't going to fly. Here. We ain't going to do that. You need to take control of your mind. It's amazing how many people will let their mind run rampant and not do anything to stop it. You have control. You have power. You have love. You have a sound mind. You say, I have a disciplined mind. My mind is not going to run me crazy and run me ragged. I am taking control of my mind. I'm going to cast down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. You must have a fresh start. You must be transformed by the renewing, the refreshing, the renovation of your mind. Put your mind through renovation this week. Say, all right, come in there. I'm ripping this out. I'm getting rid of this. I'm putting a new one in here. I'm going to think the thoughts that God says about me. The book of Jeremiah says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. And how many of you know if he's thinking them, we ought to be thinking them. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and an expected end. You need a fresh start. You need to start thinking thoughts like God thinks. So number one, start fresh. Number two, go higher, okay? So start fresh, then go higher. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. I love this because as I made the reference earlier, I didn't even realize this when I started preparing until I looked into this word as I was talking earlier about going to the gym and exercising. But it's amazing to me this word, or this phrase rather, in the Greek, set your mind on, means to exercise the mind. Wow. Exercise your mind on things that are above and not on things of the earth. But the problem is most of us are exercising our mind on the things of the earth, so we're stronger in thinking earthly thoughts than we are in thinking godly thoughts. We're stronger in thinking negative thoughts than we are in thinking positive thoughts. We're stronger in thinking insecure thoughts than we are thinking with the mind of God. We're stronger in thinking it can't happen than we are in faithful thoughts of believing it can and it will happen because he said it can and it will happen. He will do it again. So we've got to exercise the mind. But if there's one thing I've learned about exercise is it's going to take work. Yeah. It's going to require effort on your part. But you can, I want you to hear me today, you can set your mind, you can exercise your mind on things that are above. You can think on a different level. Maybe you've been stuck and you felt like, well, I've just been stuck at this level for years and years and years. The way that you're going to get to the next level is by thinking at another level. Go higher. Good. Just like in physical exercise, you're going to have to push yourself. But every time that you choose to set your mind on the things of God and the things of the kingdom, You are exercising, and when you exercise, you are strengthening. What does that mean? That means you're strengthening your mind to become more disciplined. You look at some people that they go to the gym every single day, and you would say, that's a disciplined person. Well, let it not be said that there are people that are more disciplined in their body than believers are in their minds. Paul said, bodily exercise, it profits little. But we need to be exercising ourselves in godliness. And the way that we exercise in godliness is by thinking godly thoughts. So why do we do that? So that when the thoughts of timidity and fear and cowardice and worry and bitterness come, they can't overcome us. Why? Because the stronger vessel will always overpower the weaker vessel, right? If we put two warriors and one was strong and one was weak, we would all say, I believe the stronger one is going to win, right? Well, it's the same way with your mind. If you exercise your mind on godly things, when those thoughts of fear come, fear can't stand here. Fear can't control my life. Why? Because I've been exercising my mind on godly things. So go higher. That's why the psalmist would say, look to the hills from where comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. There was a moment in time when Jesus was revealing to his disciples, hey guys, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered and I'm going to be killed on a cross, and I'm going to be sacrificed, and I'm going to die. And Peter drew him to the side. He said, Lord, far be it from you. And he began to rebuke him. Do you know what Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Listen to this. He said, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. What's he saying him? He's teaching him in that moment. We all just hear, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you're a stumbling block to me, Peter. You're trying to keep me from fulfilling God's will in my life. But listen, Peter, I'm teaching you something right now. Your problem is in your thinking. Yeah. Your thoughts are on the way man does things when I'm focused on the way God does things. How many times are we a stumbling block to ourselves because we've set our mind on things of men instead of the things of God? Exercise your mind on the things that are above, the things that are of God. And here's one way you can do that. Leave yourself a note on the mirror, Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Leave yourself a reminder on your phone. Exercise your mind towards godly things. Leave that scripture. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. If you put that in pop up on your phone, you put it on your speedometer, you put it on your mirror, trust me, you'll be like, I don't want to be Satan. I don't want to be mindful of the things of men. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be offense to my friends, my family, to myself. I want to set my mind on things above. I want to go higher. Exercise your mind towards the things of God. Because you need to remind yourself or leave yourself a note that says this: God has given me access to the disciplined mind. Or I'm going to do my part and I'm going to exercise my mind towards godliness. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Many scholars believe that Romans is the greatest writing of all time. I mean, it's beautiful in the way that it was put out. But in chapter 8 especially is known as one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible, the way that it was written. And in verses 5 and 6, listen to what Paul says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, now listen, set their minds is the exact same word that Paul used in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, set your mind on things above. So what is he saying? For those who live according to the flesh, exercise their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and its peace. I don't think that we understand or we grasp the severity nor the potency of the statement that is made by the chief apostle. When he said, for those that live according to the flesh, they exercise their mind on the things of the flesh. But what he's saying in opposite is those that live according to the Spirit, they exercise their minds on the things of the Spirit. I want to read this to you in the New Living Translation. Listen how he says it. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. How many people are letting our sinful nature control our mind? Why? Because we haven't taken control of our mind. Because we don't realize the access that we've been given to a sound, disciplined, controlled mind. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. In essence, the apostle is saying this: if you want to live a life that is full of peace, exercise your mind on things of the Spirit. Let Him lead your thoughts. But if you don't, it only leads to death. But living according to the carnal mind is, he also says in that chapter, the carnal mind is enmity with God. This convicts me so greatly. I remember I read this one time and I was pricked in my heart because I realized how many times have I made myself an enemy of God because I was thinking and being dominated by the sinful nature in my thoughts. I don't want to be an enemy of God. The one that loved me and gave himself for me. So you've been given an invitation and a decision to make. Am I going to set my mind, exercise my mind? Am I going to go higher? So start fresh, go higher. Number three, get tested. When we found out that there was a good chance that our son Boaz, who's 4, had a gluten sensitivity or celiac disease, we made the decision that we were going to take him to the doctor and we were going to get him tested. Why? Because we had seen in his life that as he ate certain things that he reacted and it caused his skin to be affected with eczema and it affected his mood and he was at times unruly because of things that he would eat. So we decided we're going to go get him tested so that we know what it is that he can eat, what it is that he can't eat, what is making his body do this. So we went and we got him tested at 2 different places and we ran those tests and we had them performed that could reveal what we couldn't see or know on our own. You see, he could eat something, he could react to it, and we could go, oh, that bothered him, but wouldn't it be better to know beforehand what he couldn't have or what his body could not process or digest? So what we did is we had to let someone, being a doctor, a specialist, run tests on him and tell us what we didn't know and what we couldn't see. That's one thing that doctors are there for, is they went to school, they learned, they were educated, they can see what we can't see, they know what we can't know. Well, in your mind, there are things that you can't see and you can't know unless you let the Holy Spirit of God test your mind. Let the Lord run some tests on your mind. Get tested. Here's what I mean by that. Psalm chapter 26, verse 2. David said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." That word "try" means test. Test my heart. Test my mind. That word also means purge away or refine, like a goldsmith refining gold to remove impurities. He's saying, run my mind through the fire of God. That's why Paul would say, stir up the gift that's inside of you, rekindle, refresh the flame. If we want to have a discipled mind and a disciplined mind, we're going to have to allow the Lord to try and to test our thoughts. Just like a doctor would reveal what you can't see, or going back to the analogy of exercising, a personal trainer would help you realize you've hit, that when you start working out, all of a sudden you'll hit ceilings. And yeah, I can't lose any more weight. I'm doing the same thing that I did before, but I'm not losing any weight. I'm not gaining any more muscle. I'm not getting any stronger. Well, a personal trainer will be able to come in and say, well, that's because you need to now start doing this, and you need to start eating this, and you need to try this method, and you need to do this exercise. God will try your mind and try your heart to help you think the right way. Let the Lord test your mind. Here's what I love about David. He said, test my mind and my heart. He welcomed it. We would dread it for God to test our mind. Why? Because we're afraid that we'd fail. Yeah. But David welcomed it. He said, I want you to refine my mind. Yeah. I want you to put me through the fire so that I can come out pure, refined, useful, holy, having a disciplined mind. Listen to what David said in Psalm 7:9. He said, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds. It is our God's natural duty to test our mind, to refine it, not to test it in hopes that we would fail, but to test us in hopes that we would grow and we would get better. We don't give tests in school to students to make them fail. We give them tests to help them grow, right? So God tests our minds. He tests us because he loves us. Why? Because he didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He has bestowed on us. He has given us access to power and love and a sound mind. You know why it's important to not have a spirit of fear or timidity? Because a timid spirit will be intimidated. And there are things in the world that long to intimidate you. There are things that have come along, but when you have faith inside of you, you declare, I'm not going to be intimidated. Like when David went before Goliath, he said, I've come before you in the name of the Lord Most High. He was just a little shepherd boy, 15, 16, 17 years old. And Goliath is saying, who is this guy coming after me? He says, you come at me with sticks and stones, but I come to you, Goliath, in the name of the Lord. Why? Because his heart had been tested. His mind had been tried. He said, he knew, I don't have a spirit of timidity. I'm not intimidated. You may be 9'9", and I'm just whatever I am, and you've got a spear, and you've got armor. I've got a sling, but more than that, I've got the Most High God on my behalf, and I'm not intimidated by who you are, what you say, what you do. I know who I am, and I'm going to face you, and I'm going to defeat you. And there's some things in your life that are Goliaths that you haven't faced them yet. Why? Because you have a timid spirit. But God didn't give you that timid spirit. That's a learned behavior, and if you can learn how to be timid, you can learn how to be confident and sure and courageous. So he gave us power, love, and a disciplined mind. A mind, that word sound mind also, if you study it out, means soundness and structure. So when we allow him to try us, you know what happens when gold gets refined is in silver? It doesn't just get more valuable, it also gets stronger. Because the impurities that are in it, the dross, is what makes it weak. Dross is weakness. So what God wants to do when he tries you is he's not just putting you through the fire to test you and to make it hard on you. No, what he's trying to do is he's trying to draw the weakness out of your life. He's trying to draw the impurities out of your life. He's trying to get the things that are timid, that are fearful, that are worrisome, that are insecure, that are weak in sinful nature, and he's trying to draw them out. I want to pray with you today as everybody begins to stand to your feet. I want to give you the opportunity to come to this altar, and I want to lay hands on you and Pastor Madison like Paul laid hands on Timothy, and he said, stir up the gift of God that's inside of you through the laying on of my hands, because I'm believing that you're going to walk out of here with the resolve to have a disciplined mind. No more chaos, no more confusion, no more timidity, no more fear. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. The key to all of it is keeping our eyes and our mind fixed upon him. That's where perfect peace comes from. That's where the power, the love, and the sound mind is, because it's not of us, but it is in us, as I talked about last week. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we come before you this morning. I thank you so much that as a loving father, that you chose to give us not a spirit of fear, but of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And I pray for that disciplined mind right now, God. And I pray for that person that's warring within themselves right now, wondering, do I have a disciplined mind? Do I have a chaotic mind? Is my mind good or is my mind bad? No matter what it is, it can yet be stronger. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk in these steps that you have given us by your word, that we would have the renewing of our mind, that we would exercise our mind on things that are above, and that we would allow you to test us and to try us and to pull things out of us that are weak and that are broken and that are useless, so that we can be made into a vessel that is used for your glory, God. So I just ask that you would move in this place today, God. So if you want to respond to that today and you want to receive prayer for a disciplined mind, would you just come make your way down to the altar? We want to pray with you today. The altar is open. You can come. We're going to pray on you. For those of you that need to get going, if you would lift your hands and receive this blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and may you always remember that God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love and of a sound mind. You have access to a disciplined mind. And I speak that blessing over you today. And as Paul said, stir up the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. Lord, I pray for every gift that has been implanted in the hearts and the minds of your people. And I pray that we would not let the fire go out, but we would fan it into flame. And we would walk in power, love, in a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You, for those of you that are heading out, you're released. If you'd like prayer, you can come down to the altar. We would love to pray with you today.